The prophet Isaiah says this: I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Amen. I want to invite you to remember the last time that you fell. I want to invite you to remember the last time that you fell, and I mean really fell, like all the way down, unexpectedly and swiftly just fell down. Take a moment to remember. How did you feel in that moment? How did you feel in your body? Were you shocked, embarrassed, in pain? Did you feel weak or stupid or powerless or afraid? How long did you stay down, feeling all those feelings? And how does it feel right now to remember that moment? Now, I want to invite you to remember how it is that you got up again. Were you able to lift yourself off the ground? Or did you have someone there to reach out their arms to you and bring you back up to standing? Take a moment to feel how it felt to get back up from a fall. Were you relieved, embarrassed, thankful, humbled, angry? The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope, says Isaiah. A saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. We can't stay down for long. It's not too late to get back up again. We get back up again, and we get back up again. This is a line from a famous and well-loved hymn in Jamaica, written by Donnie McClurkin. Isaiah says, the coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. One such land and people, only marginally independent now for 61 years, is Jamaica. Working for independence for hundreds of years, the people waited with hope that they could and would get back up again. And while they still wait, they are still down in the rubble of poverty, they sing this hymn as they strive to get back up again, as they seek the arms of God, of justice. They sing with hope. A saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. We can't stay down for long. Last week, I visited Jamaica. And it was there that I heard this hymn for the first time. And it has stuck with me and continues to teach me even after my journey there and back. Now, on the flight to Jamaica, the plane was full of people returning home from visiting family or from other travels in the U.S. and folks from the U.S. going to visit family there in Jamaica. So as we flew, we hit a storm. The pilot came on and said, folks, we are about to enter some rough air. Please stay in your seats with your seat belts tightly fastened. Okay, so I have some very serious flight anxiety. And so I began to hold my breath in fear and grasp the arm of my seat. I closed my eyes and I tried to think of something positive. The plane began to wobble side to side, and then outside of my window, I could see the lightning, and the clouds were growing darker, and the plane grew more and more unsteady as I grew more and more fearful. And then a drop. The plane fell through the air just a bit and then came right back up. And then another. And this time the plane fell far, and it felt to me like we would never get back up. And as we fell, the most amazing thing happened. Everyone on that plane started laughing. Like belly laughing and shouting, "Whee! Again! Do it again!" Even the smallest child on the plane sitting right in front of me was all smiles as he was looking at his parents to figure out exactly what he should be feeling right now. Before long, the people were throwing their arms up in the air, doing the wave when the plane would make even the smallest drop. And the laughter would roll through the cabin, alive and loud. Unexpectedly, I found myself smiling too. Not because I was enjoying this adventure, because I was not. But because I could not believe what I was witnessing, which I could only describe as joyful hope. Hope that this wasn't the end. Hope that the pilot was in charge and trustworthy, and that the storm would pass and we would land safely. They seemed to just have hope. And somehow, that hope lifted me out of my fear. Now, before the plane had entered the storm, an older gentleman had gone into the restroom. And when the storm hit, I guess he just had to stay put. So when the plane steadied again, the man came out of the bathroom with a smile on his face and his hands on his heart, and the whole plane erupted into applause for him. He had made it out, and everyone around him, his instant and unexpected community, was so grateful. As he made his way back to his seat, he literally stopped and took a deep bow in the aisle, surrounded by clapping and praise, celebrating his safe return. A saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. When all of the fun had ended, I was just sitting there in shock. I have to admit that I was a bit disappointed that I had not had the wherewithal to get out my phone and video the whole thing, such as the age of TikTok. I'm telling you, it would have gone viral. But truly, as I sat there, I noticed that my body was relaxed. All of the fear was gone. Instead, I was left with this sense of being disoriented. What was that? I would have never thought to respond to that situation in that way. I would have never thought to trust the fall, to have hope in the process. Hope, the trust and belief in something yet unseen. Today in our scripture, we hear again about Peter. Poor Peter. Today, Jesus says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Peter, the guy who sank in the water, who arrogantly tried to build temples for his teachers, the guy who cuts off the soldier's ear, the one who denied Jesus three times and then left him in his hour of need, the guy who fell a lot. That's the guy that Jesus is going to build his church on. That's the guy we now call Saint Peter. Saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. So why do you suppose Jesus chose Peter to be the foundation of the church? I'm curious. Yeah, Peter fell down a lot, but also he kept getting back up. No matter how many times he fell down, Jesus reached out his arms for him, welcomed him back, showed him mercy and love, and Peter received it. You see, Peter, human and often afraid, never lost hope. Through it all, Peter continued to show up, to talk, to listen, to make mistakes, and to reconcile with God. Peter was always fully engaged, and while he was far from perfect, on the day of Pentecost, he was the one who understood that the Holy Spirit was sending them out to heal, to teach, to proclaim the good news of love. And Peter knew the good news of love because he had received it over and over again from Jesus in his outstretched arms, lifting him up. "The coastlands wait for my arms with hope." It seems to me today, friends, that this is the foundation of the church. Not so much Peter, but the way Peter lived. The way Peter fell down and then always got back up again, taking the arm of Jesus who reached out for him over and over again, trusting in him and having hope in the journey, in the process. The foundation of the church isn't Saint Peter, it's the way Peter lived with hope that when we fall, we can get back up again. And then it is outreach. Because once we are up, Jesus tells us to reach out for others who are down and then lift them up too, to heal, to tend, to love. That adventure on the plane for me was church. It reminded me deeply and in an embodied way what church feels like. In my fear, the collective joy of those I was on that journey with lifted me up, and my fear simply could not withstand the hope of those around me as they expressed it so freely. As the first stanza of our closing hymn today goes, "We are travelers on a journey, fellow pilgrims on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you and speak the peace you long to hear." That is church. I also learned that the journey is so much better if we have fun while we are on it. I learned that often hope shows up as joyful togetherness, that is, as collective hope. Collective hope, believing together in what is yet to be seen. Friends, we are going to fall. Because like Peter, we are human. We are going to fall. And those we love are going to fall. and the community around us is going to fall because we are humans doing the best we can with the resources we have in this moment. And because we live in a world where there is oppression and injustice and fear, and that's why we need Jesus, and that's why we need church. The work that Jesus gave us to do as church and as Christians is not to avoid falling. It's not to avoid failure. It's not to avoid pain. The work of church is this: to get back up again and then reach our arms out to lift others up as well. Isaiah says, "The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope." In Jesus' absence on the day of the festival of Pentecost, Peter became the foundation of the church, not because he was a saint, but because he was a sinner who knew I'd give back up, because he had hope in what was yet to be seen. So Peter left that place of a joyful festival and began to do the work Jesus had given them to do, to feed the poor, free the oppressed, heal the sick, to lift up the fallen into a place of hope. So here we are, Grace. We are the church. Welcome back. And Jesus has given us the way, having hope in it. That's up to us. All of us sinners who know how to give back up. All of us saints who lift each other up. All of us, the church. Amen.